Hey folks, Ednar here. I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. As many of you may know, on our Discord, we had a corrupted file in one of our audios files, so we are using Coleman's file, and there may be some slight differences in the audio quality that you might be used to. Nothing major, just some people are a little bit more quiet than others. Just thought I'd give a little PSA for that. So go ahead and enjoy the show and enjoy this special announcement. And welcome to the Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy Heroes. I am your host, Edinar, as always. And I am joined today by my two wonderful co-hosts. I got Coleman over there in Hawaii eating mahi-mahi pineapple deviled egg. How are you doing over there?
Aloha, how are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Happy Easter to you. It is Easter when we're recording this. So all that fun stuff. I don't know. Do you guys celebrate that in Hawaii? I don't know. You guys are weird down there.
Yes, we celebrate Easter.
I don't know. It's Hawaii. They're weird.
I went to church, lifted some weights. You know, we're good.
All right. Fair enough. On the other end of the spectrum, we got our boy from, the Philly area, Dave. How you doing, Dave?
I am good. I want everyone to know that this is the second intro Ednar did. The first one, I really hope that you just put in like some type of blooper reel, because it was fantastic, and I feel like people need to hear it.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Segway, this is what hosts do. This is going to go right into our big announcement, because you would be able to see if you could watch us. Oh, you'll be able to see that thing live on Twitch, which we are going to be doing. So starting next week, we will start live streaming our show on Twitch and all that fun stuff. So you get to come into Twitch chat, harass us live, and all that fun stuff. We will be sending out additional information about, what the Twitch channel is actually going to be, stuff like that. But yeah, you get to come and, basically just harass the living hell out of us. Mainly Coleman. Please. But
mainly Coleman.
Please do. Yeah. I'm ready
for it. But I will say this. I did make the Twitch channel today. It is just Rebel Force Alliance is the name of our Twitch channel. So I will be sending out the link to all that fun stuff when we when we go live. But yeah, we're going to be starting that up next week. I'm kind of excited about this. I do stream my Overwatch podcast on Twitch too, so I'm kind of used to it by now. The weird part is the delay. You guys will have to get used to that. Like, people will comment on stuff like 20 seconds after we say it in the channel, and he'll be like, "Oh yeah, I said that stupid ass thing."
If we get like stuff wrong,
yeah, or they'll just start making fun of us for no reason, and we're gonna be like, "Why are they? Oh yeah, I said that like 20 seconds ago."
So it'd be mostly like the words you mispronounce.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mainly that will be what it's about, and porg memes, and no, you can't post memes in Twitch anymore. The racists took that away.
What took it away?
There was this big controversy about how like Twitch emotes can be considered racist.
Oh, okay.
So like they started to cut back on them. But yeah, if you can't go subscribe to the channel, we want to try and get to that 50 subscriber count to get affiliated with Twitch as soon as possible. So go to Rebel Force Alliance on Twitch, subscribe, and we'll keep you up to date with when we're going live, because I'm sure we'll do before and after. We'll stream probably the whole thing, like our before talk and our after talk type of shenanigans. Yeah, past that, moving on, let's actually talk about the game we're doing a podcast about, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
Yes.
There has been a whole hubbubaloo of information. Yes, hubbubaloo of information this week.
That's like a thing they say in Wisconsin a lot, right? Like a hubbubaloo of cheese?
No, I don't think that's common really anywhere.
Oh, okay.
No, no. Nice try, though.
Hey, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out where you pulled that word from.
From my brain. It's all in Edna's brain.
Yeah.
So we talked about in our last podcast about the Q&A that they did. And they wanted to dive a little deeper. And they made reference to a couple of the things that they were going to dive a little bit into deeper with like long form posts. So we started to get, we got three of the four that we've, that they've said they're going to do. So the four they want to go over, the daily login improvements, the community improvements, the character release cadence update, and then the raid rewards improvements. Now the raid rewards improvements, since we're recording on Easter Sunday, they're releasing that blog on Monday. So we won't be able to talk really much about that, but the rest of it we can go into. So the first thing I want to go over is the daily login changes. For starters, just get this out of the way. The login character for April, Greedo, falling right along the lines of what we predicted about bounty hunters or scoundrels or pirates or something like that. So, but that's not the change that they're talking about. So here's what they are changing in the daily login. So they want to remove some of the chafe of the daily login calendar, as it wasn't helping out really anyone or motivating people to log in for, you know, the real crappy, you know, training droids or, you know, 5,000 credits. It just really wasn't working anymore. So they wanted to replace that stuff. And they wanted to break the usual model of login reward system only being valuable at the very end of the time period it covers. So when we have a new character and begin to announce plans for exciting new release in the following month, we want the rewards at the start of the month to reflect the excitement. And we also want to reward players who stick with us day after day all month. So by doing this, they are going to be introducing, you get a single Zeta on a month sub 31 days appearance. So long story short, you get it on the 27th login day. You get a Zeta. You also will get it on a bonus Zeta if you log in on the 31st day of the month. So, and they intentionally put it on a 31-day month, not to make you feel bad about months that have fewer than 31 days, but because they tune the Zetas they want to provide to people with a level of engagement to that number. So basically, if you log in for 27 days in a month, you get a free Zeta. No one's going to complain about that. Because, I mean...
I'm not.
I
can get to catch up.
Yeah. You have, like, probably 70.
No. It's only actually, like, 28.
I have almost 70.
Okay. They also wanted to point out the character dropped inside of a given month will not always be valuable to older players. We've heard the frustration echoed from the community when a character has high ownership rates, and we do our best to offer something that has low ownership rates and is useful. However, sometimes you can't find a character that fit those criteria. So the daily character login, daily login character follows a theme and is also often very beneficial to new players, even if you already own them. So they're basically saying, like, yeah, we're going to try and make it useful for older players, but most of the time it's not. But it means that, as everyone kind of knows, it hints towards what's coming.
So, like Greedo.
Greedo.
Yeah, it makes sense to do it that way.
And not like Hondo.
Not like Hondo.
You don't know that yet.
Yes, we do.
You do not know, because they said he could come to the game.
I think it's unrealistic for some players to think that, like older players, to think that they would realistically get a character that was still, like, that they didn't have in a login. Like, they've never really done that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But
it's always kind of been thematic, like with something that was going on in the month. So they're kind of just putting a stake into that and saying, like, this is how we're going to do it going forward, so that everyone just recognizes that, like, it's going to be a character of a faction they're reworking. It's going to be a character of someone who's relevant to, like, an upcoming hero's journey or legendary character. It's going to be someone for, you know, an event coming up or something, or someone that's getting a kit rework. Like, that makes sense. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the big thing for me was the amount of crystals you get now. Like, you get a lot more crystals. So, like, day 4, you get 50 crystals.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, that's that. Like, the crystal gain is bigger to me than, like, the better character shards. Because I could not care less about the character shards, but they don't mean as much to me because I already have most of those characters already at 7 stars.
It's good shard shop currency, though.
Well, we have 3 locations now for shard shop currency.
I know.
Like,
we'll get to that, right? But they did confirm that. But yeah, I mean,
we'll be going through that with our cadence. You should never be running out of shard shop currency.
That's great. I mean, you wonder what that signals, right? Like, giving people more stuff typically means they're going to make something else harder, but. But it's good. I mean, the game's in a life cycle, right? At this point where we've all been playing this thing for well over 2 years. Like, at some point, I think this is natural to just, like, let the player base breathe a little bit more in certain areas and then constrict somewhere else. We don't know where that somewhere else is, but, you know, giving people a little bit more crystals, you know, you're logging in every day. Here's a little bit more, you know, whatever the reward is. But I think, the other thing, too, is I do wonder if this means that they're seeing some login numbers drop a little bit, so they're trying to get people to log in more often. You know, that might be the case, too.
I could see that being, like, a way to be like, hey, we've noticed people have been dropping off a little. I mean, I don't know if this would get people to log back on, but anything could help.
I mean, I'd log back on. I mean, I log in. Obviously, we're not the right people that aren't logging in, but... You know, if you get 50 crystals, I mean, that's a refresh. I mean, that's valuable, right? So, it's definitely worth it. So,
yeah, you log in every day for a month, you get, I mean, what, 300-400 crystals, 2 Zetas, and 22 shards.
Yeah.
So
good. It's valuable for doing literally nothing but, like, turning the app on.
So. And an Omega, you get an Omega too. Mm. See, there you go, Coleman. Hey. You can't complain about being Omega short anymore.
Yes, I can. We need to pack you around.
You see that? Yeah, he needs the constant Omega packs, like, all the time.
I'll be by the end of the month.
Yeah.
So, okay, I mean, that's the daily login updates. That was probably the most minor update that they came out with. Mm-hmm. So we probably don't have to spend really any more time on that because it's pretty straightforward. You get Zetas, you get more crystals, bada bing, bada boom. So, next up, we want to talk about the devlog for community improvements. And this is going to be, I'm going to just paraphrase a lot of this. So, they want to talk on, you know, ongoing communication, devlogs, Q&As. So, they're going to be doing, from their last Q&A, they learned a lot. And even though it was short notice, it wasn't the most convenient time, as we might have pointed out. They wanted to get more information back from the people. So they said they're going to be doing more Q&As, stuff like that. But then they also have in-game feedback surveys. So I don't know if everyone has done them, but please go out and do them. And write in character you'd like to see most in-game as Hondo. The amount of people who have tagged me saying, I put in Hondo, it made my heart melt. It grew two sizes bigger.
It's like 3 people that did that. So, like, congrats to those 3 people that did that.
Yeah. Oh. If you put in Boss, congratulations, you did something right.
If you put in Bosk, you just wasted a vote because he's useless.
Bosk is awesome. He's amazing.
Mm. Yeah, no, he's not. He's useless.
No, in all seriousness, too, though, when you are filling out that the survey, when you come to the YouTuber section, try to put in other, put in McMole2 and RSG Gamers.
Yeah, they weren't on there. There were a lot of people I had never heard of on there.
Right? Yeah, I didn't hear any of them. I was like,
yeah,
no,
they don't have.
I know Arnold, but that's about it. Okay.
Yeah, they don't have an area for podcasts. Otherwise,
I was mad about that part. I was like, what?
Like, well, yeah. Like four of us that have a podcast about this.
I can imagine that, like, Galactic War Report, right, which has been around since almost the beginning of the, like, the beginning of the game. And that's an outstanding podcast. Like, obviously, anybody that listens to this one, I'm sure you listen to Galactic War. Like, that's a great, great podcast. But those guys do an amazing job. But, like, I can imagine how pissed they would be, right? Like, they've been helping to promote this game since the very beginning, and they didn't make the cut. It's like, it's kind of a... yeah.
I would, like, awkward.
Yeah. I would be like,
oh, how many devs have we had on our show?
I know. They've had multiple devs and stuff on their show. Yeah. Yeah. That sucks.
Oh,
but,
oh, oh,
oh, there you go. Everybody.
There it is. This is why we need Twitch subscriptions.
If you're playing Rebel Force Alliance bingo, that you just got the, you hear a siren in the background. Square.
Yeah, first step towards Twitch subscriptions, buying Coleman a soundproof booth. We're just gonna buy him a portable one that he has to walk around in.
Yeah.
So back to the in-game feedback surveys. Fill them out truthfully. Don't fill them out sarcastically or bitter. Just fill them out truthfully. That's the only way they're gonna learn. So fill those out. You should get a pop-up in-game. We should be seeing some more Q&A videos with the game changers coming up, they also pointed out. So I'm thinking more like podcast, YouTubes, like Arnold, Arnold, Cubs fan Han, yeah. People like that are going to be doing one-on-one sit-downs with some of the developers doing Q&As. So keep your eye out for that because they really want to start working with getting the game changers more informed. And then lastly, they talked about the beta program. So last November, they ran a beta program a few weeks prior to the release of the Territory Wars that over 14,000 people participated in. The exercise was invaluable to the team, and it helped us identify a number of potential issues that they were able to address prior to release. So they'd like to expand the number of participants in the beta program and for future releases. So if you'd like to participate in future betas, they have a link on the on their blog post to go and sign up for it. And then just like any other game, if you play any other games and sign up for beta, you get an email inviting you to the beta. Then you follow this, sign an NDA, do this, stuff like that. So they're kind of opening up the beta program to more people, but you have to sign up for it first. So if you have any interest being in the beta program, go out and do that. That would be much appreciated. I don't know. Did you guys sign up for the beta?
Oh, I definitely did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. I mean, I don't think I'll ever get chosen because everything will be like, oh, this needs to be fixed. This needs to be fixed. This could go towards Hondo.
Yeah, all you're going to talk about is Hondo.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what
they're also going to want somebody with like a well-geared Jedi training ray, which I don't know if you meet that criteria.
Oh, you mean besides my gear 12?
I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Who got Ray? Me.
I know.
That's right, Gear 12?
I know.
Yeah.
Right, how happy are you?
I'm very happy. I mean, I was glad to get it over with. But during that whole week, so I've kind of been complaining about this. It's not a bad thing to have, but so I've never gotten plus 20 speed mods before in my life.
Okay.
And I got one. And it was on an arrow. So I got plus 20 speed on the one mod where it has a chance at being beaten out in speed. I'm like, are you shitting me? I'm like, I have a plus 20 speed arrow that is not as good as a plus 30 speed arrow, which I have 25-30 of.
But it is a, I mean, what is the primary?
I think it's offense. So I'll probably put it on like Princess Leia or something.
Yeah, I mean it has its function in some.
Yeah, but I'm like only me gets that.
Yeah.
My first plus 20 speed mod. Blame Coleman.
Yeah, that works.
So, a couple of other things that they before we get into the big update, which was the character release and event cadence, a couple of other things, good things. So, Territory Wars, they took everyone's feedback and realized that things were broken in Territory Wars with the number of defensive units people had to place. So they reverted it back to all guilds. The max number you can place now is 25.
Which I am loving.
Yeah, it's no longer like, hey, you're at 32. Well, shit. So they got rid of that. Thank God. I don't think anyone's going to complain about that. If you do, please do not listen to this podcast because you are a heathen.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I went there. If you're going to complain about that, no. It was not working as intended. I will say that right now. Another great thing that they did, and Dave, you kind of pointed this out, is they fixed having to constantly hit refresh in arena to get the top possible person you're going to fight.
So I need a minute here. Because I don't think, obviously, not everybody's going to feel the same way about this, but this has been an issue in this game since the day it started, in that when you would get, I wasn't immediately at the top of arena. It took a couple months for me to work my way up there, but I've been, you know, well over for 2 years, someone that sat, you know, top 50, which is, I guess, like, you know, the amount that you can see. So I guess that's where we'll point a dividing line is what's important. But like how crazy it was for all of this time to not be able, when you're sitting at 13, to jump to 8, because you could jump to 8 because it would let you, because occasionally 8 would show up. But like it wouldn't show up all the time, and most of the time 9 would show up and you'd have to hit, and like 8 would show up, but because you were like just tapping it as quickly as you can to see if 8 would show up, you'd accidentally hit it one more time, and then 9 would pop back up again, and you'd be like, crap, it's going to be another 10 minutes before 8 shows up again. The fact that that's gone is amazing, and it's such an important change. It sounds so stupid, probably for some people who maybe just started the game, or even for those that have only played for like 6 to 8 to a year. Like, for those of us that have played since the very beginning of this game, to the fact that that first spot is now the highest you can jump, is the highest you can actually jump, is amazing. And I am so happy they did this, because it really does make people's lives a lot easier, because the fact you had to hit refresh a million times was crazy. Mm-hmm. So thank you, CG. Thank you for doing this. Thank you from everybody who's old guard, who's played this game for so long. Many thanks. That's all I want to say.
It is such a stress relief not having to knowing I can refresh 100 billion times just to move up one extra spot.
And then just getting pissed off and being like, screw it, I'll just do the one that I know is second to closest.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick of
hitting refresh.
We've all done that. And it's just like it's so dumb. And it's so great that you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Mm-hmm. So that is now live in game. Yay. Huzzah.
Yay.
So let's get to the big changes. So the big thing was the character release and event cadence. So there's a lot to go over in this, so I'll just read it all and we'll talk about it. So Marquise. So it's been a little over a year since they first unveiled the character release cadence for marquee events. And they look back and how far the game and the community have come since then. More importantly, they wanted to take an opportunity to recommit a regular movement of characters from packs to grindable locations in the game and to reflect the intent of the marquee events. So finally, they wanted to acknowledge that they made a few missteps in delivering this cadence. You think? They're making up for it now, though. So the marquee event intention. So originally, the intent of the marquee events was to give new characters more flashy entrance into the game, rather than saying, "Hey, here's, you know, go get them out of Galactic Wars." So after a year of releases, they realized over time that the original intent mandate had expanded to something larger with each marquee release. They wanted to establish that each new character or ship has a clear sense of utility, both back-looking utility or forward-looking. Whether a player buys packs, picks up shards and shipments, farms characters and nodes, or puts them in the back burner, they want us to have an increasingly clear view of what each new character contributes to their overall experience. So, with that said, they start going into the release cadence. So, the overall cadence they laid out last year will largely remain intact with a few minor updates. We're just going to go through all the release cadence that they announced. So all units, characters, or ships released through marquee events will move to Chromium packs or fleet packs and shipments approximately 4 to 6 weeks from the first day of the unit's marquee event. From the day the unit moves to Chromium pack or fleet packs and shipments, approximately 4 to 6 weeks later, that unit will move to a location in game. This is important. These locations are limited to, at the moment, to Cantina, Hard Nodes, Guild Store, and Guild Event Store. They reiterated that they will no longer be adding any character to Galactic War Store, Cantina Store, Fleet Arena Store, or the Arena Store. Mm-hmm. With their intention is that those stores are to be used for Shard Shop currency only. But they will update this list as needed, depending on how the game changes over time. And then all characters that enter the game through marquee event will always follow the above cadence. Release of characters through a marquee event into a farmable heroic event will no longer occur, like Mother Talzin and Wicket. Mm-hmm. With that said, Mother Talzin, Wicket, Spirit, and Zombie will be moving to farmable locations in the next content release. So due to the nature of the content release schedule, there may be some instances where the units move through the cadence a little earlier, a little later than the exact calendar date, so on and so forth. So let's talk about this real quick. They're basically saying, at a marquee event, they got rid of all the special events. It's a marquee event, chromiums and shipments, farmable, mm-hmm. every time.
And obviously, they're probably going to still keep legendary heroics.
Mm. They go into legendary heroics later in this, so we'll talk about that. But
right.
Yeah, those are getting a complete rework.
Good.
Which is an interesting rework. But the big news to me here is one, Talzin, Wicket, Spirit, and Zombie are gonna become farmable. And that they confirm that not one single thing is gonna be added to Galactic War, Cantina Store, mm-hmm. and both Arena Stores. Like, that's the big thing to me. So that's what we meant earlier when we said you will no longer have to worry about Shard Shop currency.
Good. I mean, yes. I'm kind of disappointed about nothing going to the stores. But also, it sounds like it's the same story as, hey, look, here's number two.
Yeah.
And then, what was I saying now? Crap. But, yeah, so not...
Oh, you pulled a me.
Yeah, I heard a siren go off. Do I get double bingo?
No, you don't get double bingo when you're the ones causing the sirens.
Oh, damn. Okay. So, really disappointed in that, but what I was getting at was that every 4 to 6 weeks, it sounds like what they did last year, just reiterating.
Yeah, like, that was the cadence they started with, and then they decided to get, like, freaky funky with it. Yeah.
Let's get freaky with it.
Well, yeah. they tried stuff that didn't work. To be, obviously I was very critical of that cadence. I'm glad that they're putting kind of like at least in stone a cadence where everyone will know exactly what to expect. I do really like the fact that they're doing that. I think it's they waited a little long to finally just there's enough people to play this game for long enough to just let everyone know the way things are going to be, let people know when new characters are coming out. We all know that the characters are coming out now and you're going to have to buy them. And if you don't buy them, you're going to have to wait. But like letting everyone understand how long that's going to be and exactly when they'll get them really helps people feel more comfortable or happy about that. Or also then in turn, lets people know exactly how long they need to wait. So if they want to spend money, they know how long they'll have like the quote unquote leg up or something on people. Yep. Right. So like if you're going to, if that new character is going to be farmable in say 3 months, all right, I know I got 3 months where I can use this character in arena before people have him. Oh, you know what? I'm going to spend the money on this guy. I think that's important. For those that are going to spend money to know exactly how long they have.
Cause a good example of that is the ones that just recently came out with Treya and Sion. Sion came out. Okay. He's obviously going to work even better with Treya. I have roughly 3 to 4 months before he's released free to play. Will I have Treya by then? Probably not, so I don't need to spend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's important. I think that's smart. It shows, obviously, good faith the community to tell them that. But my favorite part is honestly telling people finally that, like, you can go spend your Galactic Worker and so you know no characters are going there.
Yeah. I'm now spending all my arena tokens on Greedo.
You know, take all that money and put them towards the shard shop, get your cuffs, get your guns, get your, you know, your new gear, your 12th gear.
Get your gear for your bounty hunters.
Yep.
It's a lot.
Start gearing up your bounty hunters, like put it towards characters you're going to be able to use. And I think this is the type of communication, the type of decisions that people have wanted for a long time. So kudos to CG to start to finally recognize that and give people the forthright information they've wanted for so long. So I think this is obviously we're all in agreement that this stuff's great, but it's good to finally see them do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, they did dive into marquee events in particular. They wanted to clarify what exactly a marquee event was and what it all entailed. So here's some things that are just the down and dirty for each marquee event, no matter what. So each marquee event will debut exactly one unit. In some cases where units have exceptional mechanics that rely on other units being present, they may include other units to demonstrate the mechanics. So each marquee event will tutorialize each ability in the unit's ability kit. There will be a tier of the event for each ability, like always. Each marquee event will include a bonus tier for level 80 to 85 players to offer a challenge. Each marquee event will include a practice tier where players can take the new unit into battle against a squad chosen by them. Marquee events will no longer disappear once completed, but will remain open for the duration of their schedule. You will be able to replay previously completed tiers for no reward. They may include additional tiers to tutorialize additional information that they see deemed relevant. All units released through a marquee event will unlock at 2 stars, named or unnamed. All marquee events, if completed entirely, will yield enough shards to unlock the marquee unit and take the unit to 3 stars. And then all marquee event units will have a single pack, which will cost 1,300 crystals and yield between 5 and 330 shards. And then they will also all have a single bundle patch for $9.99. And if there's any changes to the above structure, they'll notify us 2 weeks in advance. So yeah, this is kind of how the marquee events had been going, though. Outside of the most part, you could go back and redo the tiers.
Yeah, I kind of like that. We kind of saw that again with the last one, where we could go back in and practice a little bit. I really like that aspect of it because it helped make up your mind really on, okay, which one do I want? Which one's going to be the best out of these guys?
Yeah, I think that's important to let people play with the characters. Like, you are asking a lot of money of people who are going to buy these characters before they're farmable. So I think, because, listen, obviously there's been tons of there's been tons of people out there that bought characters that ultimately, when you bought them, whether it's in the short term or long term, weren't worth anything, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they didn't end up becoming very valuable. Anybody that bought, like, Holdo or Rose, like, those characters are worthless, right? For all intents and purposes. And that isn't a fun way to spend your money, right? People love this game. They want to support it. They want to pay the money. That's great for all those that aren't paying money, right? That they get to keep playing the game, because those that are spending money aren't spending money. So to allow people a little bit more access to these characters before you have to decide is a smart way to do it. And it's not like CG hasn't introduced characters that were worth the money, right? Like, I never regretted paying the money I paid for Rex, ever. Because I enjoyed the ability to use him without other people being able to have him for a very long time. So I think it's a smart way to do it. It shows, again, this increased just openness to letting players play with these characters more and become more aware of them, and just it's a better player experience, which I think has always been what we've wanted. So it's a really, 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 really good change. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, like, the transparency here is what we all wanted.
Yep.
Now to the other change, which I don't think any of us really saw coming, is the Legendary and Hero Journey events. So over the last year, they doubled the number of Legendary events they got with R2, BB-8, Grand Admiral, and Chimera. All that stuff. And then the Hero's Journeys, obviously, with Luke and Rey. So they've instituted, like, new events versus legacy events. Mm-hmm. So this applies to all matter of event types, versus Assault Battles, Fleet Mastery, Omega Battles, etc. So Legendary and Mythic events are considered new the first and second time they appear to the player base. So for a new Legendary or Mythic event, we will be providing players at least 1 week of advance notice that the event is going on. This notice will come in the developer announcement section, so on and so forth. The intent for this is, first, they believe that there's a tremendous amount of excitement when a Legendary Mythic is first announced, and they want to be able to surprise us. Second, in the initial two runs of the event, they believe players that have invested widely and made preparation for the event should be rewarded for their diligence. So a Legendary Mythic event becomes legacy event after its first two runs. So in those instances, we will be adding those Legendaries and Mythics to the event calendar when we post the monthly update. So for an example, near the end of April, they'll be posting an event calendar for May, and it will include the details for any Legendary or Mythic events that qualify as legacy. So, and essentially the same exact thing is going to be going on for the Hero's Journeys. The first two runs for Hero's Journey, they consider new and will give at least a week's notice before their launch. So on and so forth. So basically,
panic farming
is going to occur for the first two events. And then you're going to have a month notice, really.
It really should only be for the first event.
Yeah. First event. Because,
like, the first event will happen, you'll panic farm, or you won't. If you panic farm, you'll get the character. If you don't, then you'll know, like, all right, I got to keep working on these characters because I am not going to get a ton of time to do it the next time. So I better just get them done and be ready if I want that character. So I think that's very open about, like, this is exactly how it's going to be, everybody, so prepare accordingly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, look at it. I mean, they announce every month when the Yoda event's back and the Palpatine event's back, and they've been announcing that forever. And
yeah,
it's to the point now where, whatever. Like, the majority of the time, I don't even realize it's there because they haven't included Mythic events for at least the Yoda event yet. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't even know when the Yoda event goes on, but they announce it whenever it comes up in the calendar. So, that's great. I think the Hero's Journey one is the one that people probably like the most.
I'm curious about how hard it's going to be.
How hard what's going to be?
The legacy events.
They're the same events.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be like mythic events where like the last tier is a bit harder and you just use whatever you want?
Oh yeah, but they're gonna be. It's not like it's gonna be any different than any of the other mythic events. They're just including them as legacy, because it won't be the first two times we see them live.
Mm. Right.
So basically, the first two times they'll only give us a week notice for when they're coming up. Every other time, when we get a new month event calendar, they'll have them listed on there.
Hmm.
So okay. From here on out, Hero's Journey for Ray and for CLS are going to be on the event calendar when they release it at the first of the month. Because they're technically legacy now, not new.
But it might not always be a month's notice, though, right? I mean, if they just...
You're right. It could be, like, a week, but, like, it will be in that month, and they're going to tell you about it.
Yeah, so my advice would be, if a new... So, say, here's hypothetical. In 2 months, they tell us Jedi Luke is coming the week after 4th of July or whatever. They start the Jedi Luke Hero's Journey or whatever. And you don't have those characters and you miss the first instance of Jedi Luke, just get the guys you didn't have immediately and just be ready for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That is my recommendation for all of these. Do not be the person waiting for the fourth. I mean, obviously, if you haven't started playing the game, I get it. But, like, the characters that you get through these events are the most important characters in the game almost every single time.
Outside Yoda.
Outside of Yoda, and that was the first one, right? So, like, they immediately realized we got to make these guys better, and they did. They did. Because every single one since then has been, like, a game changer. So, it's important to make sure you get those characters. So, don't let, if you let the first one go by, which is understandable, plenty of people have, then just make sure you get it the second time.
I have all the legendaries except for the Chimera.
You mean the Chimera?
Sorry, the Chimera.
Ooh, Hex, you said it correctly. Chimera. Wow.
And I have both. I have CLS and Ray, so I'm only behind on the Chimera.
Only the Chimera.
Are you becoming sentimental toward me? You called it by its real name.
No, I'm not getting sentimental towards you.
To be honest, Coleman, before you got on and Ednar and I were talking, he was being quite sentimental.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No. April Fool's. Not at all. He wasn't kidding.
He was. Yeah. Fern.
Was that the Fern. Chocolate egg yes. I found too?
Chocolate egg. Yeah. Do you have your egg hunt? Do you guys do your egg hunts today?
Yeah, we did.
Do you hunt for tuna?
No, we actually hunt for roe. So, you know,
pineapples.
And pineapples.
They just have a bunch of pineapples sitting in the yard. Go find them. Probably goes rather quick.
Yeah.
Everybody wants yard pineapple, so you know why not.
I mean, it doesn't really blend in well with the grass.
No. Sticks out.
But yeah, so that's what they have released so far. Now starting tomorrow, they do have the raid rewards improvements. And I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to change the rewards for the Sith raid, or if they're just going to up the rewards for the previous raids. I'm leaning more towards they up the rewards for the previous raids.
Hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I do think that, like, they'll do that. It makes sense. Over time, they have made certain things easier to get, right? I mean, look what they just did with mods, with the mod store. It would make sense for them to bump all the rewards just a little bit so that certain things or certain gear pieces become more readily available, or, you know, currency just becomes more readily available. They'll do something else in the back end to give you something else to work towards. But I feel like this is all signaling something that, to be honest, I have no idea what it is. But hopefully it's just, you know, more gear, maybe a higher frequency of full pieces, stuff like that, just to make everybody happy, which I think we'll all be excited about. So no one's going to complain if you get an extra, you know, full piece. No one's going to be like, oh, this is terrible. You know, everyone's going to be excited about that. So why not?
Yeah, I mean, they need to do something with some of the old raids. And this is a good step towards it in improving the rewards for some of the older raids.
Do you think, because we talked about it before the show, like, do you think they'll address the non-heroic tier Sith raid rewards? Because, I mean, you said earlier that you think they're not great.
I think I don't think the T6 rewards are worth a damn, personally, because, like I said, the best I got, I took 5th in my last one, or 5th or 6th, and I got 12 golden eyeball salvage. That was my best reward I got. And I'm like, well, that's useless. Like, for all the work put in to get that, I'm like, come on. I can get 25 of those for 325 or 375 crystals. Like, it just wasn't worth the reward. Now, I think they need to give more gear 12 gear, because everything I've been hearing is gear 12 gear is what makes or breaks the raid.
Yeah.
Like, because before, like, in arena, you don't have to have, you just have to have your guys at gear 12. You don't need to have them gear 12 plus the 3 pieces. That's not required for arena.
Not at all. Especially but in the raid, it is.
Yeah. Like, I know the guys over at Shattered Order and their podcast, they're talking about how big it is for the Resistance Trooper. If to get that multi-tool on him to give him 10% health steal. Well, the Resistance Trooper is usually the first one to die.
Yeah. Right?
And 10% health steal will go a long ways toward, you know, maybe making him not die right away. Like, so, yep. The gear 12 gear is what it's going to make or break you. And I think more gear 12 gear or more gear 11 gear that is holding people back.
Relevant, like this, to getting you there.
Like,
yeah.
Like, the new stun gun is, like, the most brutal piece of gear in the game. But almost everyone needs it. Mm-hmm. And there's no real way to, like, go about getting it. Except just grinding for a long time and spending a lot of crystals.
Well, yeah, they don't really give out readily. I wonder if that's one of the things they'll do, right? They don't really give out full pieces of those, like, 3 new pieces, like the new back to gel, the new droid collar. Like, they don't give those out. Like, mm-hmm. those ones that help you build those pieces. Like, it might make sense to, like, give those full pieces. But yeah, I mean, I like the idea of the fact that, like, these like one piece of gear matters, right? Because, like, for so long, like, the gear, while it was important, like, always felt kind of mundane to farm it, because you're like, all right, well, I just got to do this because it bumps him up 8,000 protection, and then he'll just, like, his stats bump up or whatever. But, like, if people remember from, like, the original rank core raid, when people were first trying to solo the first phase, needing to give Tebow the scanner in, I guess when you would get to gear 10, you'd have to give him the scanner and it would give him 10% potency. Like, that mattered so much to get him there, to give him that piece. And, you know, you'd get people like, oh, well, do you have Tebow with the scanner at gear 10? And they'd be like, oh, no, with the god, well, you know, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to, you know, solo phase 1. And I think, to your point, Ednar, of, like, these gear pieces matter for the Sith raid, like, that's good. Like, that should, the gear should matter. Mm-hmm. It should be something important to work towards. It should help your character be definitively better, whether it be in arena or a raid. Like, it should matter. So, it's good that it matters again. Like, that type of stuff, I think, is important. So, and adds an extra element to the, like, character building that this game has been so core to what this game is. So,
yeah. Coleman, you got anything to add to that?
Oh, sorry, I'm doing something else. What were we saying?
Oh, about the gear 12.
Gear 12. I mean, those pieces are good, and I'm almost wondering with all this, like, so even in tier 6, you still get some gear 12 pieces and all that stuff. But once, so, and a lot of that is so we can get Hermit Yoda and Wampa quicker. We have to worry about gear 12 pieces. Mm-hmm. But once we have Hobo Yoda and Wampa at 7 star, I feel like we're just going to get Gear 12 pieces like madness.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I made the mistake of trying to farm Wampa before Hoda. I'm regretting that.
Why do you regret that, though? I did that.
I feel Hoda's more valuable in the raid right now than Wampa.
In the Sith raid?
Yeah.
Yes, but not... It doesn't make or break the raid, though.
No,
it doesn't. Great. And with Wampa, you can solo the entire HAT. The whole thing.
Yeah.
So, like...
I mean, it takes some RNG. Yep. It does take some RNG to do it, but...
But you can do it. Like, Yoda doesn't do that for you. So, like, no. If you wanted to, like, finish first in every HAT, if it was free-for-all, with Wampa, Gear 12, you could do that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I Gear 12 Wampa. I just haven't had, like, a moment to, like, actually be able to do that in the last week because work's been a son of a bitch. But, like, at some point, I am looking forward to trying to solo the HAT just so I can say I did it. I don't regret finishing Wampa first at all. I mean, he's incredible. He's really, really good. But Hermit Yoda's great, too. I mean, honestly, you got to get both because Hermit Yoda's 100% going to be needed for Jedi Luke. Let's be real. So you may as well get him now and just have him finished and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's going to definitely be needed for
the next
Luke.
He was the essential part of Luke becoming a Jedi, so.
Yeah. And he is great in the HAT. I mean, there's multiple teams that do well over a million or 2 million, 3 million damage that, like, have Hermit Yoda as an integral part. So he is a very, very valuable character. But I wouldn't feel bad about that choice. I mean, I think it's okay to have chosen Wampa over Hermit Yoda. So don't feel bad.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not like, oh, this sucks. I can't believe I did it. It's like, oh, okay, I did this. I wish I would have gone the other way, but.
Yeah. Are you going to gear Wampa?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lot of fun.
I'm gearing up all my Night Sisters right now. So
that's a good idea.
He's kind of taking the back burner to all the Night Sisters.
He's not that bad gear wise, honestly, though. Like, he's pretty relatively easy, I thought. From a you know, if you look at Night Sisters aren't that bad either though, so finishing them makes sense though. So
yeah, they're a better phase 4 team.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Especially with Talzin. You know, as of tomorrow, right? We'll know where she's going, so.
Yeah, I'm hoping we know, get her and Zombie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I decided not, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, I'm not spending on Zombie at all now. Never mind.
You're right? Like, I feel almost bad for the people who have, like, gone hard on crystals for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not a lot of people have gone hard on crystals, because Zombie's very viable in Arena at 2-star.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean,
but then once they realize how good they were in a raid team, and you need him at 7, then
yeah.
So,
yeah, I wonder how much better the Night Sisters is going to be in the raid once they're appropriate star level.
Well, the thing is I guarantee you, Talzin's probably going to be on a hard node.
Oh yeah, has to be. Just to make our lives crap, she's going to be on, like, the last hard note of everything.
Yeah. And then Zombie, I'm assuming, is going to be on some... I'm going to go 16-node Cantina.
Is there still an open 16-node, though?
I hope is not.
There? Maybe please not.
Don't let there be.
I think Spirit and Wicket are going to go into the guild store.
I can see Spirit going in the guild store, yes.
Yeah, they're going to put Wicket some... those characters
Wicket, don't Wicket's matter gonna be a hard quite note. As much.
No, I don't think so. You think he'll be a hard node?
Yeah.
No,
he's not that... Well, because Wicket is part of the indoor escalation event rewards, just like Talzin for the defense of Dathomir, or whatever else not. Whatever
but are is. those events going to stay around?
Oh, I think so, right? Did they say they're going...
I don't think they said they're going away. I hope not. That's a good income of Zeta's.
Well, I'm just saying because like they're putting them into farmable locations.
Yeah, but
because we talked about like I don't know if they're gonna get rid of them or not, Because if you put them in farmable locations, there's no need for it.
Yeah, but it's an event that's not... It's supposed to give you shards for those two. But also, once you acquire them to 7-star, they have a bonus tier which grants Zetas. So I don't think they'll get rid of the events.
Okay. I mean, they haven't specified if they are.
There is no space in these 16 energy cantina nodes for.
There isn't. They're all done. Yep. I'm looking at like the hard nodes. I mean, there really isn't anything available. You could double up with a ship.
Which they've done.
Which like they could put someone with. You know, one of the ships in Dark Side Battles, but like if you go to Cantina, like I guess they could put somebody with I don't even know. There's nobody on the eighth spot. You could go to 7 and you could put somebody on 7F. It's just Plo Koon's ship.
Or you know what they could do?
What? Like add a 9th tier?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't. You think they're gonna do that tomorrow?
No. I'd be happy if they add a number 9.
I bet they put somebody in ship in Fleet Arena. So I bet they put them in like Fleet Arena and
They said they're not putting anybody in Fleet Arena.
So it's going to be the guild store.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of glad like, they're not going to Fleet Arena because that's your main income of Zeta.
Yeah, maybe just I mean, so did they say are they going to put people in the guild events store?
Yeah, they'll put people in the guild event stores, though.
Oh, so the guild store and then the guild event store is probably where they'll go, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. That makes sense. That's still the currency where people can run out.
Yeah. I mean, I know I do. So.
Yeah, those are the best stores. I mean, those are the stores that have the most valuable stuff.
Yep.
So that's why you don't have the currency because you actually
exactly
you actually use it. So it's okay. Yeah, it makes sense. That's why you don't have it because mm-hmm. there's good stuff to buy. So you may as well use it.
So, yeah. All right. I guess that's really all the news that there was this week.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything else?
No. I do have a shout out though. So
we're gonna. What's your shout out for?
Just for Rebel Force member Dark Lord. I know it's weird because that's also the guild that Coleman's in, but he's a great guy. He's been in Rebel Force for a long time, but he's done an incredible job revamping our teams and our strategy for territory wars for Yavin. He's done a lot of work. And I felt like he needed a shout out because it does not go unnoticed, Dark Lord, the work that you've put in. So shout out to you, man.
Nice. Hmm. Coleman, any last words for you?
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Okay. Well, I like I said earlier in the show, I will get out some of this Twitch information as soon as possible this upcoming week. It's a crazy week for me. They're crazy next couple of weeks for me.
Oh, good.
With stuff going on. So, yay. Going to see Adam Carolla this week.
Who is Adam
Carolla? You don't know who Adam Carolla is?
No.
Loveline, The Man Show.
Oh, so no? you like men. Okay.
So you know what's important. So Ednar, how old are you?
34.
Yeah, okay, so I'm also, we're like the same age, and Coleman, you're how old again?
23.
That's why.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so it's a different tech. He doesn't know The Man Show. He didn't watch that. We watched it.
Was possibly the greatest show of all time. They ended the show every week. By chugging beer and having girls jump up and down on trampolines.
Yeah. Coleman, when you get a chance later, Google The Man Show. It was Jimmy Kimmel's real start on TV. So, like, it was Carolla, Adam Carolla, and Jimmy Kimmel. And it was before Kimmel became, like, what he is right now, like, on, late night TV and like ultra, you know, crazy liberal. And like, it's not that way now. Like, it was back when he did this like show where he drank beer and like talked about boobs. Huh. Like, that's what that show was.
And they're like, their piano guy was a super old guy, but he could chug a beer in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I definitely Googled the Man Show. It's good stuff. It's like, when was that even on, in the 90s?
God, it was. And then what's his name? He does a lot of stuff for like UFC now. Joe Rogan.
Oh, Joe Rogan was on that too. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, he was on that show.
We're so old.
Oh God, it was on 99 to 2004.
99 to 2004. Yeah, so like right into like college, like when we were still in college.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. So, that was, yeah, definitely Google that. But that's why you don't know him, because he hasn't really been around since then. Like, he kind of he dabbles in like podcasts and does appearances here and there, but he's like a pretty big degenerate. So, you know, he's not on like mainstream media anymore, to be honest.
He's got one of the most popular comedic podcasts.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's all podcasts. Like, he's podcasts and like on like what I'd say like underground media, like just like things you have to find or like obviously know about, but like you're not gonna see him on TV. So like he's not like what you would in the general public. He's kind of gone from that public light now. But he's funny guy, really funny guy, big gambler. If you listen to like, you ever listen to like Bill Simmons' podcast? You know Bill Simmons from ESPN?
I mean, yeah. I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know him. So you know him too, Edna, right? Bill Simmons from ESPN. Mm-hmm. He used to be ESPN. Now he does like The Ringer. He, the Cousin Sal stuff that he does, like they have Adam on a lot sometimes. Everyone's at least once or twice a year, they'll have him on a podcast, as well as Jimmy Kimmel too. But like, I think they're all still friends. Like, they all still hang out a lot. Yeah. From their times doing the, not only that, but like, I think Adam's helped Jimmy with his show occasionally and stuff like that. Really, really funny comedic guy. Like, really, really funny. So, worth looking up. Anyway.
But everyone go Google The Man Show and watch an episode or two.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like Maxim TV show.
Very funny. Very, very funny.
So, all right. Well, on that wonderful note, while me and Dave went down nostalgia lane, to when we were creepy perverts, watching girls jump up and down on trampolines on network television. Mm-hmm. Until next time, everyone, you have a good one. Keep an eye out on our Discord, all that fun stuff. We will see you on Twitch next week.